That hiatus being because Mr. Gary has relocated. So as you see now, that is not the swamps of Florida behind him, but rather the lush bourgeois forests of North Carolina. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. That's Gary, Binary Gary on the internet. So I was about to say Jazz Sequence on the internet for you also. And that's Allison.
If you'd like also to speak Jazz with me, Sequence on the please internet. Go through Chris. That would be perfect. I am fine with that. If you have questions for me, ask Chris, and he can translate them.
And we are Binary Jazz, yes, which is Binary Jazz on the internet. Look us up.
That would be amazing if you could just triage all my
I don't have anything else better to
you
do.
You don't have enough on your plate.
Yeah, it's fine. No, it's fine.
I don't get that much communication to triage in the first place.
So we are here to do another episode of Binary Jazz. Gary is now in a different locale. Allison and I are not. We are in the same place.
I don't think anybody's ever in the same place. It's constant. Like, if you're in the same place,
you don't know me well enough. I get stuck.
I don't know. I think you think that, but I don't think you do get stuck. I don't think you give yourself enough credit there, honestly.
I'm sure the bookshelf slightly changes behind me.
I mean, like, place, like, where you are, but, like, place where you mentally are.
I go in circles a lot.
And Gary's getting deep on us.
Oh, no, I have not stopped the weird podcast and Wikipedia hole I've been in.
What are your new discoveries?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about wisdom. Somewhere I bumped into my research that, in the ancient text, wisdom is a woman. It's a female concept. And so, what does that really mean? And coupling that with wisdom as like an ongoing thing, I guess this relates back to like never being in the same place. Like, I'm never in the same place because I have more, if I'm paying attention, I have more wisdom today than I had yesterday. Even if I'm not paying attention, I probably do. Maybe I should spend some time parsing it. So my apologies. This is a long slide, and it looks like it's gonna go on for a while. I thought when I was moved in, I would stop the crazy research into the way people have understood the world in the years before me. See, there's a chainsaw.
There's
but
a chainsaw.
Probably not a chainsaw.
Probably not a chainsaw. No, it might be a table saw.
Yeah, I don't know what a chainsaw sounds like, but I didn't think that was it.
I do know what a chainsaw sounds like, and it's not that, but.
My knowledge of chainsaws is mostly from horror movies, so.
I mean, it's not an inappropriate chainsaw sound. A little bit more menacing than usual.
Are they always accompanied with screams? Is that just how chainsaws function?
Like, yeah, and dudes in masks.
I have some trees to cut, and I think I'm going to purchase a chainsaw to do it.
Ooh.
I know, right? I'm pretty excited about it.
Don't let the tree fall on your head or the house.
Yeah. Some of these trees are, I mean, no lie, 40 feet tall.
I mean, the way
that, by the angle.
The way that you're looking up at the tree would indicate that they are rather tall.
Oh, you also can see my cool rusty light there.
Yeah.
I was like, one of those trees has a lamp on it.
I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sitting. I didn't turn it on, but I'm sitting over here by the fountain. Can you see the fountain?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Gary.
I know, right?
Where did you move?
You all are welcome to
Shangri-La.
Come and and wheeze the juice here if you need to.
Just amidst the greenery in my fountain.
Well, the major problem I have right now, so Wi-Fi works great in this spot. This is cool. Nice. I'm probably going to work here a while. I'm sitting in a camp chair. I need to do something about that, a little more permanent. You know? The Wi-Fi doesn't work at the other end of the house, and I don't think it'll work down the hill behind me. And I'd like to eventually be able to work down the hill.
So what are you going to do? Going to get a mesh thing or something? Or
just get I use the Google mesh thing. And so when I bought it, it had three, and one died a while ago. And I didn't need a third one anyway. So I've been using two for quite a while. And then I was like, well, I'll buy more. But Google doesn't make it anymore. Now they want you to use their Nest Wi-Fi thing, whatever. Well, it's probably the same thing. Still exists. It is, but you have to have that set as the main access point. So I'd have to like reset the whole network, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. I just want to add some spots. So I went to eBay and found someone selling three Google spots for, like, I bid on them and I won, and it was way less than I would have paid anyway. And then I promptly paid via PayPal and shipped it to my old address. So
nice. Do you have a mail forwarding?
I do. Yeah. Okay. So I got a notification.
So it'll get there, and then
eventually,
and it'll come back.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll get one end of the house figured out, and then I'll start figuring out how I get the backyard sorted beyond this spot. But I may only need three little spots again. I don't know. This Wi-Fi thing is a little weird to me.
That's the best bird, I've decided.
Is there any sort of visualization, like network visualization, that like, is there anything better about Google Mesh than other things?
So if you think of like the old
to position things somehow,
no, it's sort of like you go and you go, oh well, I'm not getting great Wi-Fi here, so maybe I should go halfway between here and the next point and stick another one in. The cool thing is that with a basement, like, I can just slap one underneath the house.
Yeah,
you know, and that doesn't help with it upstairs, but like the main floor, I feel like I could just put one there and be like, okay, well, now that area is covered. I don't have any like real logical way to do it. The two that are set up right now are probably too close. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my Wi-Fi setup is probably not terribly efficient, not the least of which because I have a router and my modem, which is also a Wi-Fi router, like, you know, side by side. And on two different networks, because I thought that was a good idea at the time. It was a good idea at the time, because at the time when I set it up, I was running a VPN on the router, and I left the other one off the VPN. So, like, if you wanted to connect to the internet and didn't want to go through the VPN, then you could just connect to the just connect to the router. But now I've stopped doing that because it made my router slow and it made the internet slow. And since we, like, our speed got up to like 1 gigabyte or something. I figured that's dumb to like cut my speed down to like 200 megabits per second when I can do a gigabyte and just like use the VPN locally on computers instead.
Now I'm curious.
You're always curious.
Yeah. I'm going to do a speed test while we chat here.
That's not a new thing.
Well, that runs. Do we want to think about topic, or could this episode be all about Wi-Fi? I'm fine either way.
The topic today is Gentacular.
Gentacular. Wait, Gentacular or Gintacular?
Gen. J-E-N.
J-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Gentacak? Or no K?
No K.
Gentacular. Gentacular.
Yep.
Okay.
Chris wins the spelling bee. Portion of the show.
Great.
That's cool.
Oh, hey. That was a jinx.
Damn it.
You owe me a Coke. I was going to do a speed test, but now I was writing Gentacular. So I was going to compare my speed.
I really thought I had like a lead on it when you first said it. But now that I know how it's spelled,
what were you thinking before?
Well, I thought I started with a G.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking it had something to do with gin. It's like a really good gin is gintacular.
Oh.
This is gintacular. I'm going
to
say
I thought it was like referring to like neighborhoods that are slowly being gentrified.
Right? Oh, there. That's a good one too.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it, but it's clearly not that. Gentacular is a famous slogan used by a peer of ours on their podcast with a host, Jen, to close things. Gentacular. Thanks, Chris.
Sorry, I'm being distracted by my seed.
Usually when I say something dumb like that, like Chris bails me out by...
Is that what I do? I bail you out? Is that...
I think you bail me out by changing the topic, and
okay,
people don't like sit and stew in like the dumb thing I said.
Don't just like
I think
they're not bathing in my...
I think sitting and stewing in the dumb thing is appropriate in this case.
I've been doing a fair share of that, so
we it's gentacular behavior.
We have someone on the internet, this non-binary D&D player person that I've been following, who talks about D&D sometimes, but mostly talks about other things, was talking about like how TV shows all suck and like whatever, like a whole like diatribe, and then ended this by saying that there's a show that doesn't suck that kind of comments on all these things in a way that is at least somewhat healthy, I guess. And they recommended Letterkenny, which is a Canadian show. I downloaded Letterkenny, and we've been watching that from the beginning.
And what do you think?
There are problems. There's definite problems. Mostly the blatant, rampant sexism in the character depictions, but the dialogue and the stories and the characters are, it's definitely entertaining. It's definitely funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definite problems with sexism. It's definitely written by men.
I've heard of it.
So when somebody says something stupid or does something stupid, the main character will just basically, will be like, okay. So that's where I was going with that. Is that's the reaction that?
Oh no! This is going to go for me. Okay, all right. Not ideal, but we'll figure it out.
It is a gentacular show. Gentacular. It's not a multi-generational thing. It's not having to do with a person named Jen who's spectacular. And it's not having to do with gin. That's unfortunate.
Well, let's think about this. Like,
I was going to say something having to do with Jenga. Like if you're really good at Jenga, or a Jenga game that goes for a really long time, and you manage to like make the thing like you basically are able to somehow invert the Jenga tower so that it's balanced on a single, you know, and it sort of like builds out. That is a gentacular. I feel like whatever the root of Jenga is, that name, and whatever the root of gentacular is, I think that the gen is a, like I think now, it's the same root somehow. So I feel like there's some sort of a physical geometry thing here.
Isn't the root of Jenga from like an ancient Egyptian game?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't actually know if that's true or believe that, but I like the idea of hieroglyphics showing someone wearing a dog head playing Jenga.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
I struggle with playing Jenga because I hate when everything falls because I just can't stand the noise of like clattering.
And well, I recommend playing Jenga in a room full of drunk people with a personal Brad Parbs. doing play-by-play of the Jenga game. I think that is the best. That is the best environment in which to play Jenga.
I would subscribe. Have you seen that.
These things where like they're bigger Jenga things? People take 2x4s and cut them, and you often see them at like you know small.
I have seen them at conferences and shit.
Why? Like, that's why is my question. Like, cool. So we have Jenga on a table is loud as hell when it falls. So now we're going to do it with, like, 10-pound pieces of wood that will damage people when they fall? And let's stick it somewhere where people are commonly drunk, like a brewery.
I would argue where, that there's...
Like, is there not a point where someone was like, wait.
I would argue that the pieces might not be our best idea. The pieces are probably not 10 pounds. Everything else.
Yeah, I suck at estimating. Okay. All right.
Maybe because life-size chess is just way too boring, and not everyone knows the rules.
Although, I guess it's better to give them pieces of wood than swords and horses.
I mean, if life-size chess was like life-size Harry Potter wizard chess, then that's a different thing.
Totally dangerous.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now I'm concerned about this.
And what is that sound, Gary?
Chainsaw.
There we go.
It's the native North Carolina chainsaw.
It is the chainsaw bird.
That other bird that was going sounded like if you had set up some sort of someone keeping watch or something, and they were trying to let you know that someone was coming, that's how fake it sounded.
How cool would it be if someone came behind me and just like snatched me out of this camp chair while we're on this and like my computer fell to the floor and disappeared? Y'all be like, what the hell? There is an outbuilding back there that I can't even get to yet because of the like growth around it.
Oh, nice.
So like when we had, well, I guess it's possible to get back there because the person that did the survey like noted on the survey map, oh, there's an old outbuilding here. It doesn't look very big. Maybe like 6 feet by 4 feet, if I had to guess. Probably an old pump house or an old shed or something.
How spooky is it?
Yeah,
on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's like definitely like above an 8. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's pretty, yeah, a little rusted, no windows, but the door like is cracked a little so you can tell something living has been in the last year.
Definitely now there's like growth holding. I picture it like from afar and it's like covered in weird brambles and I'm like, no, it's not.
Oh, so cool. I'm going to have to walk down there with the kids and get a photo of it for you all. I mean, I can't get close to it yet. Like, I gotta.
You don't have to walk out there with your kids. I feel like that's the start of a horror movie.
That's a really valid point, actually. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll leave the kids. I'll leave the kids inside when I do it.
I don't want to be a part of this plot.
when we were looking at houses, I can't remember. I think this is when we were looking for this house. There was one of the houses that we looked at had, like. A fairly large, it wasn't really a shed, it was sort of an outbuilding in the backyard, but it was big, and it was definitely where a serial killer chopped up his victims and ran it through a meat grinder.
It's where the murder happened.
It has moved to a 9 now that you said serial killer. So, that's cool. I'm sure it will be gentacular when I get to it.
So something like that does happen in your house. Do they have to disclose it to you? What are the rules?
If a serial killer previously owned the house and used the outbuilding to cut their victims up into and run them through a meat grinder, do they have to disclose that? No, I don't think they disclose
it. Allison, they've even disclosed that the bathtub leaks. Like, come on.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my hopes are high. As a renter.
That's interesting about your bathtub.
Well, it's a little more complex than that.
Well, so. I mean, because we did, I think when we were going through the process, they did say there's a leak in the downstairs bathtub. And then we had the inspector look at it and like, no, that's more than a leak. And then we got it estimated and whatever. And so we found out before the thing. It wasn't just like there's a leak and then okay, we'll buy the house and it's fine. And then we just flood the basement.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a basement now? Back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's that for a Floridian with a basement. I don't even know. What do you even do? I mean, I guess if it
that's
floods,
a problem, isn't it?
I guess if it floods, then you don't do anything is what you do with it.
Yeah. So we're on this hill. So the hill is like, you can see where I'm pointing, like that way. And
sure.
Back,
that way.
It just goes back.
Right yeah. behind me.
Yeah. Behind Chris and then coming down. So like, I guess at one end we're like, I think it's like 660 elevation and the back of the property is 620. So it's 40 feet elevation drop front to back.
Okay.
Not insignificant. When it rains, it has to rain for a while, but the water, when the ground is saturated, we start to get some water in the basement. And so not knowing anything about basements, I'm like, oh no, this is like a big, big problem. And so as part of like, vetting this house, we had a structural engineer come in and confirm that there's nothing structurally wrong with the house as a result of this water seeping in. And we I also had a guy come in look at the basement yesterday and the crawl spaces to figure out like how do we keep this from happening. And he's like, oh, well, here's some options that will cost you way more than you expected. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
So our old house, it has a sandstone foundation, and in the basement, at the back of it, there is this opening in the sandstone. No idea why there's an opening there. We suspect that maybe, I mean, it's a 100-year-old house, so we suspect that there maybe used to be a door there, and it used to like lead out or something, but there's just dirt above it. And directly above and sort of like if you walked through that sort of archway doorway thing, there's just like there's dirt, and then basically like above you and then along your right is what used to be the back porch, or not back porch, I mean what we called the back porch. It was like an additional like part of the house that sort of was tacked on later with its own separate roof, and it had like these wood walls, whatever. We just ripped all that shit out. But it was like a, what's it called? Like a breakfast area sort of thing. So that's what's above you. And then around you is just dirt, right? When we originally got the house, you could actually see daylight a little bit through, if you looked the opposite way on the other side of this breakfast area, there was a hole. There's basically like, you could just kind of go, like you could see daylight there is, and so it just went down and then it kind of led into the basement essentially. So when it rained, when it rained heavily, we would get, you know, a couple inches of water in the basement. At some point, they were doing construction on the apartment next door, and they were like, hey, we've got all this like just fill dirt, they said. They called it fill dirt. It's nice dirt that you know, it's no rocks or anything. We'll just, you know, we can put it in this hole.
Free from human bones. That's fill dirt.
We've noticed that you have this hole, we could just fill it up with
this fill dirt.
And we're like, sure, that sounds great. And so they dump all this dirt into the hole, which plugs up the hole. The fill dirt was not free of rocks. It was actually mostly rocks. With a little bit of dirt mixed in. So it's not filled dirt. It's actually horrible. But what it did do is it solved, for the most part, the problem of the basement leaking. Because then, like, there's something clogging it up. And so now when it rains, it doesn't flood, usually, in the basement.
Well, two things. One, temporarily full of rocks. Wait long enough, there'll be sand, too. That's where they're headed.
Sure.
Right. If you're, okay. If you can stick around,
that's the problem for future people.
Yeah, that's the problem for like. Yeah.
You may not have a house around it at that point, but
right,
the rocks right. will be dirt. And I feel like is
the goal to have a finished basement, or is it just like for storage?
Who are you asking that to?
Gary.
Oh, I'm going to finish this basement at some point.
Okay. Then you need some pump and all the other shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thought. Or at least I'm going to finish a portion of it and leave another portion as, like, storage. But, yeah, I'm going to put up walls and run AC ducting.
Yeah, so the person, so when we sold the house, the person who came in just prettied the whole damn thing up and did all the things, and they finished the basement. So now there's not just an opening to the dirt. Now there's like a finished basement with rooms and shit. There's like an actual laundry. The antique furnace.
Can you see it over there? That's the garage entrance.
Wow. That's the garage. It's massive.
Well, I mean, that's the whole basement. Like, you go in that garage door, you're in the basement.
Okay.
So, like, it's not like
antique.
It's like the whole house.
The antique 100-year-old iron furnace that was down in our basement, I believe, is still in that basement, because based on the pictures, it looked like they just put a wall in front of it.
Yeah.
So it's still there, just buried behind a wall.
Remember the movie The Burbs? That's what I pictured when you said furnace in the basement, like this crazy big fire furnace with like
boom. I mean,
clearly where I'm at today.
You would not be far off. It's huge. It's like a solid chunk of iron. It was for coal. It's a coal burning furnace, but they used the owners before they put in the crappy furnace that was there, they bought it when it had the other furnace sort of hooked up into the ventilation system, and they used wood. They burned wood in the furnace to heat the house. So it's functional too. Yeah.
Everything is functional once.
Sure.
Everything could be a furnace one time.
I found it fascinating when I came to Canada and everybody had a basement. It was definitely a thing I wanted.
Yeah.
They're probably not too common in this area, but like I've never had one. And when we were looking at houses, Ron and I had this cool conversation on the way home before me and Ron in this house. It was like, she's like, how many times are we going to buy a house in our life? Seriously. Like, we should buy a house that, like, yeah, okay, it has some problems we need to fix. Fine. But like,
if you're going to be there for like 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And a place that's like unique and weird and, you know, has some surprises. Like, that's, you know, a place that feels like the kind of place we go to vacation. Why not?
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, you're right. So location-wise, like, yeah, we're a little ways out of the city. That's okay. They have internet here.
It looks beautiful.
Amazon delivers.
Yeah, no, it looks awesome.
Pretty good deal. Well, if you're ever, like, near the Charlotte area, like 20 minutes outside of town, just stop on by.
So how far away from you are you from Dollywood?
Good question. It's got to be just over the mountain.
I'm just trying to...
Important Allison questions. So what is the relationship between your house and Dollywood?
Well, yeah, I just remember Cameron lived in that area, and he said he was a certain... He wasn't that far away in the scheme of things.
I'm looking now.
Now you're gonna, I feel like everybody should always know how far away they are from Dollywood at any point in time.
It's a valid question, and I'm sorry I don't have the answer right away, actually. Dereliction of duty.
That should have been on the realty listing.
Yeah.
Only 4 hours away from Dollywood.
Wow, y'all. I would like to say that I am good at this. It's 4 hours and 5 minutes, according to the Google.
Awesome.
So that's something. Have we established on my show that my choir director when I was in the church I grew up in was... Dolly's next door neighbor?
No.
We ever covered that?
I'm sorry. How many years have you known me? And this is just coming up?
Well, like, sadly, like, that's the end of the story. Like, they knew each other when they were little girls, and then one of them moved. I don't remember who. And that was the end of it. But, like, that's her whole story.
She's well, like, that's, hey, like, the story I would want. I wouldn't want it to end, like, horribly with Dolly Parton being, like, the mean kid or something.
Oh, no. We know that that's absolutely not true. They just waved at each other. They played together when they were very little, waved at each other from the porch, and then I think it was probably Kathy moved. I don't know. But, yeah, that was it. That was the end of it.
So you're 4 hours away from Dollywood?
Yes, correct.
So I am 6.75 times that distance from Dollywood.
So that's like 27?
I have to check how far away.
Yes.
Wow, that was a good
pull. 27 hours from Dollywood.
Yeah.
Very well
done. That's a good pull, for what it's worth.
I'm like 12 hours. That's not too bad. That's one really long day of driving.
Yeah,
can be there tomorrow.
It is. or two reasonable days of driving.
Yeah, or two, yeah, normal, like, you can stop, maybe take in some sights.
Yeah.
Y'all, like, so moving with five people.
Yeah.
We rented a truck, because that's what you do, right? Rented the biggest truck budget had.
Sure.
But it was a one-way, so budget was not going to give me a nice truck. They were going to give me the crappy truck they didn't want in their lot. Right?
Yeah.
And I had to fight to get that truck even, because whatever. And so I was worried about space, so we got rid of stuff, like couch. We weren't bringing any appliances, and I'm like, I hope we have enough space. If we don't, like, we need to start thinking about what we're going to leave behind, you know? We had enough space. But driving that thing was wild. I mean, like, here I am, like, me, like, you know, over the wheel, and this enormous truck that barely fits in the lane, you know, plowing down the interstate. It took about a mile to get up to 60 miles an hour.
Ooh.
About another three to get to 70. And if I was coming down a hill, I could maybe hit 80. If I was going up a hill, I would probably drop to like 50, 55 was about the best I could go up a hill. So it wasn't an eventful drive up, but it was very interesting. We stopped for lunch and Rhonda's like, I pulled off and it took diesel. I filled up the truck and Rhonda's like, what do you need for lunch? I'm like, I just need to park this thing somewhere where I can turn it around easily and get back on the road. So if you could just pick something up, I'll just eat here in the shade. Like that's all I can do is just stay here in the shade behind the truck and eat. It was an experience. It was fun. It was like we got to where we're going, parked the truck, and I'm like, dang. Like, you know, we were homeless for a couple nights and like, well, here we are. This is neat.
And but you wouldn't want to drive that size truck all the time, probably.
Oh no. As like a one time occurrence, wonderful. Like ever again, I've done that.
I think if I was going on a long, if I was moving out of state with all of our stuff at this point, and we weren't just going to get rid of everything, like everything, I think that we would just hire movers and have them drive the truck.
Yeah, I'm notoriously a cheapskate, so
yeah,
it was about 90% less for me to rent the truck and do it myself than have movers do.
Oh, sure, yeah, for sure. I don't know
whether it was worth it or not, but it was.
I mean, we hired a team of very large dudes to bring the piano up the stairs of our house when we inherited that from Aaron's grandmother. So just that alone, they know what they're doing, and I would trust them more than myself to be able to orient and arrange things and like,
yeah,
they're professionals. Give them the fucking money. I would give them the fucking money.
The last time we moved, we
piano for sure.
We decided to hire someone and like a crew of people, and it was worth every penny.
Yeah, no, it made moving day.
And granted, like we're moving within the same city even. Like, but even just as a one bedroom, we were like, this is delightful. Like, oh, you don't have to end moving day in a huge argument. This is great.
our moving into this house took literally a week or more. Like we just were moving a few things at a time, just back and forth. And we finally made when you move the beds is when you finally actually moved, right? So we moved the beds. And then we were living here, but we still had tons of stuff that we had to bring over from the other house. And it was just like, it was just long and drawn out and just not fun.
Surprising how it's like with anything, professionals are more efficient.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But when we got the piano moved in, like it was like, I don't know, $150 or something. And it was like, yes, this is 100% worth every cent.
That's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
We weren't able to actually unlock the door and move in until the deed was filed with the county. Like it's a legal thing in this county. So 4 p.m. on the day of closing, we were thinking it could be as early as 11 a.m. So from noon till 4, we sat on the porch waiting, 4 o'clock, and then unlocked the door and unlocked the truck. And 4 hours and 15 minutes later, the truck was empty. And I was like, I was just so exhausted.
Yeah.
I laid down and it was the next morning, like immediately. It's so funny. Yeah. What does gentacular mean?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Like close?
Oh yeah. It means of or pertaining to breakfast, taken early in the morning or immediately after rising.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So you can say, like, I took a post-gentacular walk to calm my stomach, or, like, I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Kay. Wow, that's a good word.
I'm here for your food-related needs.
Yeah, this is like a 50-50 chance of actually making it into my vocabulary. This is, like, up there with Dyson Sphere. Like, it's pretty...
Yes, but to be fair, we use Dyson Sphere wrong. just want to make it clear that when we say Dyson Sphere, we mean something totally different than what it actually means.
Chris, I've never been bothered by reality before, and I'm not going to start today.
That is appropriate.
Are there any questions by chance?
There is one spam question.
Yes. This is our custom. Chris will read it.
As is our custom, yeah. So again, listeners, if you're out there, you can email us a question, any question at all, about us, about things in the world, about what we like to do, or things we know nothing about. It's probably best if it's about something that we know nothing about, because we know nothing about, I mean, that's what the show is, right?
So many things we don't
know. We know nothing about lots of things.
But if you are also a spam bot and you email us, yeah, we will also read that and answer those questions if there's a question involved. So today there's a question from Starla DiPietro with an MSN email address, which harkens me back to days when I worked for MSN. And Starla would like to know, do you want to promote your website for absolutely no cost at all? And then there's
not
a link.
Particularly.
There's a link that's like freeadposting.xyz, which is totally legit, right?
Is it really .xyz?
Yeah, .xyz.
That does not seem trustworthy.
So I would say, do we want to promote our website for absolutely no cost at all? We are. This podcast is essentially promoting our website.
Every day,
the website exists
for no cost.
The website exists to promote the podcast. So, I mean, sure. But thanks for emailing, Starla, and actually, I should have spammed that instead of trashed it. Let's restore it, and then I will file it as spam so that future messages from Starla are appropriately messaged as spam.
Wow.
I guess.
Let's hope Starla got all the
She got the message.
I'm sure she did. I mean, like, everyone who emails us also listens to the show, right? I mean, that's how they know to email us. So we can also contact us on Twitter. We're at Binary Jazz. The website is binaryjazz.us. It's got a contact form. You can use it.
We're on the internet.
We are on the internet.
Perhaps two on the internet.
Yeah,
there are days.
I need to. I got into a really bad habit when Aaron was in the hospital, and I started like overdosing on social media. So I'm starting to cut back again.
I when we moved, I shut my work laptop down on a Monday, and did not open it until the following Wednesday evening to prepare for working on, oh no, following Tuesday evening to prepare for work on a Wednesday. And my personal laptop, which is like my old MacBook, I'm not even sure where it is in the house at this point. So that's
not like,
good.
Is that relaxing? It sounds relaxing.
It would be relaxing if I wasn't doing all sorts of silly stuff, like installing washer and dryer. And then the washer used to drain out a window in the basement and straight into the backyard, which seemed a little sketch to me. Apparently it's not legal, but I feel like the soapy water is probably not great for the plants. So I installed like a pump to lift that water from the basement up to the sewage pipe, which turned into like a 4-hour job. But I've had like a lot of home improvement stuff to do every day, which is good. I like that. And it's been good for my mind to not be engaged on the internet with the occasional Twitter. Oh, I hate Twitter. Maybe I should delete it from my phone again. I think I did that once, and like a week later I had reinstalled it. But that week was...
But how are you going to harass me on Twitter if you're not on Twitter?
I haven't done it in a while. I don't feel the need to anymore.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.